Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
I want to thank Pastor Paul, Sister Vicky, and the leadership for the opportunity to speak today. It's been a while since I've had the opportunity to preach, and I'm excited because the message is pretty much taking place right now. How many people have been touched by the power of God this morning? Just raise your hands if God has touched you this morning. God is still moving in this place. Let's not switch off. The title of the message today is The Giant of Carnal Weapons. The Giant of Carnal Weapons. And I just want to read a portion of scripture. I'm just going to read a portion of scripture. 1 Samuel 8:1-9. And it says, when Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of the second was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba, yet his sons did not walk in the ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations. But this thing displeased Samuel when they said it, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me as king over them. So after Samuel had spoke to the Lord about this, he went to go and speak to the people. And the people said, and he was basically trying to explain to him, look, you know, you don't want an earthly king. You know, God is your king. And their response was, no, but there shall be a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. So I'm just going to open in prayer. Father, thank you for what it is that you're doing here today. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for already touching lives. Thank you for already bringing breakthrough, Lord. We worship you. We lift up your name. I just pray, Lord God, that your word would be so real to the congregation today, Lord, that they would receive revelation of your word, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that we'll be better equipped, Lord God, in the battle that we experience in our lives, Lord. Lord, we hand this service to you. It's already in your hands anyway. And we just pray that you do what it is that you want to do today. Jesus, have your way. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So let's just pay a little bit of context. Just remember that the giant that we're looking at today is the giant of carnal weapons. And we just want to paint a little context with the children of Israel, the Hebrews. Now, you have to remember that God made himself seen and known to Abraham. And when he made himself known to Abraham, he gave Abraham a promise. And this promise was a miraculous promise because Abraham was an old man and his wife was old. And we know that their body wasn't really at the age where they're going to be bearing children. However, through the miraculous power of God, Abraham has the child, Isaac. Then he has Jacob. And then from Jacob, you get the 12 tribes. These people were now the people of God. They had a promise that they was going to inherit the land. They was going to go into the promised land and inherit this land. That was the promise that God gave to Abraham. Now, the interesting thing about this journey before they actually went into the promised land is that you see them consistently getting delivered from hardships. So when Joseph ended up getting put into slavery in Egypt, and then years later, the children of Israel ended up in Egypt in hardship, God raised up a deliverer, which was Moses. And Moses came in to deliver the people. Can somebody say delivered? Time for some participation now. Feeling lonely up here. So he came in, and Moses was going to be this deliverer, okay? Now, the interesting thing about it was that the people were being oppressed, and Moses actually saw one of the Hebrews being oppressed by one of the Egyptians, and he wanted to deal with the situation. And when he did, they turned around to him and rejected him, like, who made you judge over us? Okay? Now, just remember that in Scripture, there's always a pattern of the people of God rejecting the prophet. Like, when the deliverer comes, they always rejected him. It was prophesied of. So, anyway, they came out of Egypt, and then they went into the wilderness. And I don't know about you, but I'm not equipped to survive in the wilderness. Are you equipped to survive in the wilderness? No, we're not equipped to survive in the wilderness. They wasn't equipped to survive in the wilderness. Like, we have to put this into context. They came out of Egypt into some random wilderness. But God delivered them out of every single challenge. Can somebody say delivered? Now, we know the story. Some went on to cross over with Joshua into the promised land. Some of them didn't cross over with Joshua into the promised land. But the ones that did go over into the promised land, they were fighting against the mighty giants, the giants that were in the land. And God did mighty things while they were in the promised land, consistently delivering them out of the hand of the enemy. So when we look back, we see that there was a long history of the people of God being delivered, constantly being delivered, constantly being brought out of harsh situations. And then it culminates into that scripture that I just shared, where they now have a judge over them, and they're turning to the judge and they're saying, we do not want, they're basically saying, we don't want to carry on like this. We want a king like the other nations. We just want an earthly king. We want someone who's just going to be like those nations, who rules over them and sends out a few guys with chariots and horses and, you know, a few bows and strings. We want to go on like the other nations. We don't want to do it with this supernatural power business that you've been giving us. That's not how we want to do it no more. I don't know about you, right? But this story is not an unfamiliar story. When we look at this story, how many times in our lives do we just want things a little bit easier? Just a little bit. Come on now, can we be real? How many times do we want it just a little bit easier? Okay? Sometimes we don't want to do it the God way. Sometimes we don't want to do it the prayer and the fasting way. Come on now. Sometimes we don't want to do it that way. Sometimes we want to do it our way. We want to put our hands on the situation and make it happen now. Sometimes we want to deal with the situation the way that our intellect can try and figure it out. We want it basic. We want it normal. We actually sometimes just want it to be the way it is for the guy next door. Do you know what I'm saying? Jim and Rosie next door, they just get it cracking. They just do it basically. Do you know what I mean? They just work that basic life. They get up, they go to work, you know what I mean? They got a nice little pension scheme going on. And you know what I mean? That's how they're doing it, Jim and Rosie. We want it like Jim and Rosie. Why is our situation different? Why we got to fast and pray? Why we got to do all these things, these services and prayer on Wednesday and church on Sunday? Do you know what I mean? I just want to go to the rave and, you know, pop a little bit of alcohol and have a laugh. That's what people are saying sometimes on the inside. They're saying, I don't want to do it this God way no more. When we're looking at scripture, we're not looking at something that is very far from us. This is what they said. You have to remember that they saw God do amazing things in their sight. When you look at the things that took place with Moses delivering them out of Egypt, you would think to yourself, who in the right mind would see God do that and then turn around and ask for an earthly king? But the truth of the matter is, how many of us have been delivered out of the pits of hell? How many of us have been delivered out of some situations? For some lives in here, if we was to just like put your life on that projection screen and rewind 5 years, If you were to put my life on that screen and rewind 10 years, oh my goodness, I would turn that screen off fast. Because God has done amazing things in my life. God has delivered me out of a wretched, broken, messed up, confused place in my life. And that's exactly what God did with them. He delivered them out of such a messed up situation. They were slaves in Egypt. Now they was in the promised land, sharing the land, like sharing it up. Like, you take this portion, you know what I'm saying? This is yours. Like, rolling around with big fruits and stuff. Like, yo, we got it popping over here. But still, you find them turning away from the Lord. When you read the book of Judges, it's constantly happening. They turn away from the Lord, go after the things of the world, and then the judges rise up, give them the word, they come back, they disobey again, they drift away again. This is a normal human habit. It's a normal human habit. Do you know why? Because we want to deal with things with our carnal weapons. I want us to look today a little bit at this whole carnal weapon thing, right? Don't get too hype on the words. Yeah. But I want to, first of all, just let you know that every single person in this room has not been abandoned without being left a weapon of victory. A weapon of victory. And the weapon of victory, I'll give you a little hint, was already in operation here today. I was actually asking myself, Lord, Lord, should I even go up to preach right now? Like, should I even bother? Because you're already preaching. Like, do I need to go up anywhere? Like, God was already touching people, people being healed, delivered, set free. It was happening. This was like the message. I'm like, Lord, you're doing it. Because let me tell you something, right? The weapon that we have, I'm not going to create no mystery around this sermon. The weapon that we have is the Holy Spirit. The weapon that we have is the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. Let's create a little context of what it meant for Jesus to step on the scene, right? You have to remember that the Hebrews, they were studying the scriptures, they were studying the law, and they were studying the prophets, and they were looking into the law and the prophets, and they were seeing something. There was these little scriptures that were a little bit obscure, but they were talking about this Messiah figure that would come and save the world, and then there was a few scriptures that would make reference to this one not seeing corruption. So therefore, it was like, okay, well, he's going to die, but he's going to be resurrected. He's not going to die. And they're waiting for this guy. Like, who is this guy? Like, who is this Messiah guy? This guy who's going to be the savior of the world. He's the Son of God. And then Jesus came on the scene. Boom, he's here now. And people saw Jesus and didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah guy. A few people believed, but not all of them believed. But you have to remember that when Jesus came to bring a complete message. He came to bring a complete message. And he started to preach about the kingdom of God. And then he started to do some stuff that wasn't average. We notice that when Jesus rose up out of the baptism water, the Spirit of God fell upon him. Soon as the Spirit of God fell upon him and he went into the wilderness, the enemy said, let me go get this one quick. Let me tell you something. You see, when the power of God is upon your life, the power of the Holy Spirit, the enemy gets shook. The enemy said, I need to take this one off course, because if I can get him to sin in the wilderness, I can remove that authority because I am sensing some power on this one right here. So in the wilderness, he tried to take him out, but Jesus stood ground. And it says that when he came out of the wilderness, he came out in the power of the Spirit. He came out in the power of the Spirit. And then Jesus starts to show you about the power of the Spirit. Now, you got to understand that was people who were sick for years, bound for years. Some people had sicknesses that you can't put down by human measures. Some people were sick in body. Some people were sick in the mind. People had not yet seen somebody walking around with the power just healing people. No, they'd not yet seen that. It was an average. It was not normal. There was people who were possessed for years. They had demonic influences, influencing their mind, their unclear thoughts, thinking things, psychotic thoughts and all this stuff. And that was just the way of life. But all of a sudden, this Jesus figure is walking around casting out devils. People are like, whoa, like this, there was a guy demon possessed in the room. He's been like that. His whole, like ever since we had church, he was there. Do you know what I'm saying? The guy in the corner just making weird noises. And then Jesus steps in the room, and then all of a sudden just says, leave. And it just comes out. They're like, what? Whoa, whoa, whoa. People have been sick their whole life. Jesus steps in the room, be healed as well. Healed, like, whoa, like, who? This guy, come on now. This has got to be the Messiah. This has got to be the Christ. This is the one. He came. He did it. But then, the interesting thing about that is, I believe that Jesus, he started to communicate that this move of power, it was an example for us. It was an example for us. Because you see that, let me give you the scripture reference, actually, so you can check it out for yourself. Yeah, so in Luke 9, 1 to 2, you'll see that Jesus called the 12 apostles, and he gave them authority and power. So this kingdom that Jesus was talking about, because some people are just like, what is this kingdom? Well, the kingdom is God's domain. That's what the kingdom is. It's God's domain. And the kingdom that Jesus was preaching is he was saying that the domain of God is going to start to infiltrate earth. And whatever it touches will be delivered. And he started to prove it by delivering all the works of the enemy, sickness, demons, lack. He came to deliver that, but then he said to himself, okay, and he pulled the 12 together and he said, I'll give you some of the authority as well. They had the authority and the power, and they went out and they started doing it, healing the sick, casting out demons. But Jesus wasn't finished there, because later on in scripture, you recognize that he called then 72. And then he gave the authority and the power to 72 of the people. And then they went out and they started casting out demons and healing the sick. And when they came back, there was an interesting thing because they said, Jesus, Jesus, the demons, they're shook. That's the Anton Penrose translation. The demons are shook. We're casting them out. And Jesus said something interesting. He said, behold, he said, I've seen Satan come down from the heavens like lightning. Jesus basically said to him, listen, you see when you went out in that power, Satan responded. He came down. You was doing something that was causing a stir. All the people he had bound over the years were getting set free. Satan was like, I am not feeling this. What is going on here? I've been building something. This one's been possessed for years. This one's been sick for years. I've been loving this, and you're just coming and setting them free. What is going on? And he came down. He said, I'm not having it. You see, Jesus was constantly talking about the pouring out of his Spirit, that he was going to do it. And then he told them to wait at Pentecost, and we know that the Spirit of God fell on the congregation. And then we know later on at Antioch, the Spirit of God fell on the Gentile nations. But some people say to themselves, well, I think it was just the apostles operating like that. But scripture shows that it wasn't, because there was a man called Stephen. Stephen was an apostle. Stephen was, he was a deacon, actually. And he was one of the seven guys who was asked to come and serve the table. So this is a guy who's just serving the tables. Serving the tables. But you know what it says? It says that he was full of the Spirit, and it says that he was operating in miracles and signs. Okay, so there's the introduction done anyway. I wanted to make that clear. The reason being is this, because if you're somebody who's been saying my life has been void of power, void of authority, it's just been, I've just been living a mundane life, I'm just telling you today that that is not the will of God for your life. Just very plainly, that is not the will of God for your life. If you've just been getting up and coming to church and listening to sermons and taking notes and going home and going through the week and coming to prayer on Wednesday and saying a prayer and going home and coming to church on Sunday and taking notes and going home, if that's how you've been living, you have not been living in line with God's will for your life. Because the Spirit of God is supposed to be operating in and through your life. If the Spirit of God is not operating in and through your life, then you're just playing church. That's the reality. You're just playing church. You're just actually spectating the other people who the Spirit of God is operating through their life. You're just watching them on YouTube like, oh, yo, wow. Spirit of God's operating on his life. Good stuff, lad. Keep going. That's not what he wants for you. He wants the Spirit of God to operate through you. God gives gifts to the people for them to bring their gift to the church for the working of the church. What is he giving you? We're always looking at other people. Yeah, they're doing great. Doing great. What are you doing? What are you doing, or what is the power of God doing on your life? Always talking and pointing fingers in. Yeah, this one came in sick and it didn't do nothing. What did you do though? What did you do? Always looking for somebody else to do it. We need to grip a hold of this Holy Ghost relationship. Holy Ghost, this ain't a spectatorship. This ain't a spectator thing. This ain't a sit down and watch and, you know, take notes and observe. No. Do you think that the apostles had notes to observe? They just had the Old Testament. Jesus was already here. They was living it. The notes are about them. Let's write some notes about you. That's what we need to do. So the Holy Spirit came to give us power. Okay? Power in our lives for different things that we're in a battle, regardless whether we like it or not. Now, I summarized the battle into four areas. And these areas are the mind, the heart, the body, and your circumstances. These are the four areas. Now, the interesting thing about when you follow the journey of Jesus, I think it's good to read the Gospels. If you've not read the Gospels, read the Gospels so you can get to know who Jesus is and follow him on his journey. Like, what did he say? If you don't know what Jesus said, then that's a great start point. You need to know as a believer what he actually said. Read the Gospels, read the Bible. Follow it through to the book of Acts. The great thing about that is not only do you see what Jesus said and what he did, but then you see how the church took hold of that. How did the church take hold of that baton and carry it through? Then you'll come to understand who you are, what you're supposed to be doing. Because when you look at the book of Acts and then you look at your life and you start to see, wow, wait a minute, it's a little bit different, this. I'm not kind of living in line with what was going on. Like, what am I doing out here? That's where the conviction comes. That's where the change comes. That's when you start to see how far off you are. But you also start to see the intents of God and what he wanted. And that can straighten you up a bit, because what happens is we end up drifting in the melodic song of the world. The world plays a great song, great pianist. And if you just find yourself serenading, you can just drift into the ways of the world. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube will have you dancing. It will have you dancing. When I get up in the morning, my first thing is to make sure I do not go on social media. I'm not making it my first thing ever. Because the thing is, right, is, I mean, there's loads of different things, but the bottom line is this: I do not want my first bread. I don't want my first bread to be the world. That can't be my bread. Some people will preach the sermon of Instagram. If you poke them, Instagram will come out. If you poke them, Facebook will come out. If you poke them, YouTube will come out. And it ain't no sermons on YouTube neither. What bread are you eating? Jesus starts to tackle some of this stuff. And in Luke 9, 23 to 27, I'm not going to read all the way through. I'll just read the start. It said, and he said to all, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it. And whoever would lose his life for my sake will save it. I think this, you know, Jesus, he didn't really mince his words. He just kind of got to the point with things. And sometimes we make it over difficult what Jesus is saying. No, he's saying what he's saying. You know, we don't need like, you know, a million cross references and stuff to find out what he meant there. He was saying, if you come after me, deny yourself. Bottom line. The reason why this is a battle, right, is because the enemy, he wants to get people wrapped up into trying to build an empire. Not everybody has this problem, but trust me, we'll find your problem today. But some people have this problem. This is the battle of the mind, because it's to do with a mindset. Yeah? It's to do with a mindset. If your mindset is not that you are looking forward to the return of Jesus, if you ain't thinking that, or if you've not been thinking that for a while, then you have been slipping. Read the Gospels and you will find out you've been slipping real fast. Because Jesus said to be waiting and to be ready and to be sober. So if you're somebody who's just been looking at this life, oh, yeah, I want to do that and I'm going to go and do this and, you know, we'll do that. Yay, this is good. You've been slipping out. I'm just letting you know. Because that's not what it's about. And the thing is as well, right, is sometimes when you say things like that, you can kind of sense that people are like, oh, well, are you saying that I can't have fun then? Is that what you mean? Well, there's fun in the Holy Ghost. There's fun in the Holy Ghost, though. Like, do you know what I get kicks out of? I get kicks out of seeing people get delivered. Straight up, I do. I'm just telling you the truth. When people get healed and delivered, and when people's situations turn around miraculously, and when people are able to be assigned to the world because they're able to forgive the unforgivable, to me, that gives me my kicks. I get kicks out of the supernatural work of God. That's where I get my kicks. The kingdom is full of great things. And the world has a great way of marketing you a lie to tell you, no, you need this. That's exactly what happened with the children of Israel. They seen God do great things and said, we want an earthly king. Some dry, crusty king on his horse. What can he do? Let's think about it, though. Let's think about it in context, yeah? These kings, they saw kings rise, but they seen kings fall. Do you know what I mean? Like, these kings weren't promised to do anything. This wasn't to do with victory. This was to do with looking like something else. It was about looking like them. It wasn't to do with, oh, if we get a king, then we'll have victory. No, you already had victory. How much more victory can you have, yeah, than a wall falling down by some worship team worshiping, blowing a few trumpets. Do you know what I mean? Like, how victorious, come on now. Like, God must be in heaven saying, I am, these people, do you know what I mean? Like, what can I do? Like, what should I do? Some people are like, well, why didn't God come down? He did come down. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did everything. But jokes aside, though, like, the reality is that we want to look like the world. And I'm just going to tell you straight, if you want to look like the world, right, and you want to make an excuse of why it's okay, then be careful. It's just that simple. The scripture warns of it, and I'm just telling you today. So be careful. And if you are in the room, and that's how you've been living, then this is your wake-up call. And I'm not here to try and, you know, make you feel bad and all that stuff. You make your choice. You make your choice. The scripture says it. It's in red as well. So Jesus said it. You know, so you make your choice on it. These are the battles. These are the areas that the enemy is going to try and get you on. The second one was the heart. This is Luke 6:27, and it says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." I'll just stop there. I think that's quite a lot. One of the things that I've come to realize about the enemy, the second battle, is that he's very cunning in getting people to become victims in life. Like victims in life, victims of situations, you know what I mean? Like, that person hurt my feelings, that person abandoned me, that person's dead and gone, that person. And then he swoops in and starts to go to work on that stuff and turn you into a victim. Because when I was studying this stuff, what came to me, what I feel the Lord really revealed to me, is that it's all about him taking away what your vision really should be. If you're looking at the wrong thing, if that's the center point, if it's wrong, then you're so far off. And if he can just get you to just slightly miss what it's all about, because that's what it is, you know, it's what it's all about. Because depending on how you see what it's about will depend on, will basically impact your whole experience. What is it about? It's like when you're playing sports, some people say it's the taking part that counts. Some people say, yo, it's all about winning, my friend. Do you know what I mean? Like, depending on how you see it will depend on how you play. That's why you have certain players who excel great in sports, because they're like, I will not fail regardless. I'm better than you. And that's their mentality. And they excel to the top. It changes their experience of that game. Those who say it's to taking part, they're usually the ones who lose on the bench. It's taking part. I'm just taking part, me. Anyway. But the mindset. The enemy tries to get you into this battle. Okay, now, if you're an emotional person, you could have been punched in the emotions for years. The enemy could have done something in your childhood. Now your whole life has become about this. Your whole life, though, like, your whole life is now about this thing. And you think it's okay. But the scripture says it's not, though. You think it's all right. And listen, this reality sometimes is heavy because it's personal. It's personal, and it sounds like the preacher is cheeky. Like, who does he think he is to tell me? But I'm just conveying God's word. I'm not even trying to say that this stuff is easy. This ain't easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying that these are the realities that we need to look at. So the reality is that we have these things, like, we have offenses, and, you know, we feel abandoned, we feel left, and all this stuff, and, you know, that person hurt my feelings, and they said that stuff about me, and, you know, I thought this relationship was going to work out, and I've seen people leave the church because somebody left them. That's when you know that the person was off. Because how can you walk from Jesus because some human walked from you? It don't make sense. It actually doesn't make sense when you sit down and just sober yourself and think about it. It doesn't even make sense, though, like, at all. Like, oh, that person left me, so I'm leaving Jesus. What? Like, I don't even understand how that commutes. I don't get it. But what that means is it means that the person's vision was off. Because their life became about this stuff. And if that happens, then God loves me. And if it doesn't happen, then he doesn't. Like, it's not even about that. And then people's lives become all about this stuff. Like, you know, the whole study, even when they're studying the word, it's just about dealing with this stuff. It's about that every single time. And I believe that Jesus, through this scripture here, when he was saying about loving your enemies, I mean, to keep it in context, he was talking about the fact that the Hebrews always persecuted the prophets who came. And he was explaining how when you receive the gospel, there's instantly a conflict between you and the people around you. Like, there's an instant conflict. So therefore, you have enemies. So how are you going to deal with them then? What are you actually going to do? Is it going to be a battle thing? Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. So we have to be in a place where we can forgive the enemies, because we're definitely going to have them. If you want to look like the world, right, and you want to fit in, you'll fit in some places because God can raise you up. But don't get me wrong, you will definitely have conflict. Definitely. And if you cannot get over those conflicts and it becomes about them conflicts, then you've been wounded by the enemy. That's 1-0. The third place, the third area is the body. This is an obvious one. And when I say the body, I mean the mind also. The enemy attacks people in the body. Sicknesses. Sickness, it hits people in the body. You see it. Yeah, it's an obvious attack. You get some people who were doing things for the Lord, God will just hit their body. Hit the minds. This ain't mythical. It's there, it's obvious, we see it. People are going through sickness. I recognize that the enemy, if he can't get you to walk away from the Lord, he'll just try and destroy your experience. He's like, if I can't stop you walking forward, I'll have you crawling forward. So we'll hit people. Some people struggling with thoughts in their mind and all types of stuff. There's the enemy, there's a presence that's breathing down the neck. People go through this stuff. People with distorted thoughts, they can't think clearly because there's an unseen force. Every single time when they try and push forward, there's a confusion and there's lack in their situation. All these repeated sicknesses always comes up every single time, always. Because the enemy is at work. This is another area of battle. And then there's the circumstantial situations. The enemy tries to dry up your circumstances, make the circumstances difficult. You know the interesting thing, right? You see, when Jesus fed the 5,000, and we're gonna be wrapping up shortly. When Jesus fed the 5,000, just before that, he gave the power and authority to the 12. And he said something interesting at that time, because they were like, look, do you know what? Let's just send these guys to go and get some food. Like, you know what I mean? Send them to the other towns. We're hungry. And Jesus pointed to him and said, you feed them. I don't think Jesus would ask somebody to do something he couldn't do. He wouldn't ask him to do that. He had already given authority. It was them that was lacking faith in the situation. And he also showed them something else. He showed them that you see this kingdom and you see this power. It isn't just for casting out demons and healing the sick. It performs miracles. Broke that bread and them fishes were going around. The enemy wants to attack your circumstances. Put circumstances around you that seem almost impossible. If you subdue yourself to them situations, you see, the disciples and the people that were around, they looked at the situation and the situation was impossible. By human standards, it was impossible. But the Holy Spirit is able to turn around every single situation. What situation is it that you're going through? The worship team can return for it. So we know that we have this battle. But we've been equipped in the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said that he was going to send the comfort. Some people say to themselves, well, some people lose touch that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is such a necessary thing. It's so, so necessary. You have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. There was a time when we look in Scripture, we see that there was a man named Cornelius. Well, if you read Acts 19, 1-7, you'll see a little situation that took place. There was a man named Cornelius just before that. And basically, he was in Ephesus. And when he was in Ephesus, he knew about the baptism of repentance that John spoke of. He knew about that. And he knew that Jesus was the Messiah that the Scriptures talked about. But he didn't understand about being baptized into Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the people who he preached to, they didn't experience that full experience. And then when Paul returned to Ephesus, he found 12 people and he said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit? And he said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And he explained it to them, and they was baptized in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Why was this Paul's concern? Because if you are somebody who has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are like a sitting duck to the enemy. He's giving you power for a reason. You know those things we talked about, the mind, the heart, the body, the circumstances. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to get through those things. The power of the Holy Spirit isn't just running around, casting out demons, healing the sick, and, you know, all that radical stuff. The power of the Holy Spirit is the impression of the personality of God upon your heart that allows you to forgive the unforgivable. The power of the Holy Spirit will stir things on the inside to allow you to be so convicted to step away from the world and say, I don't want that, I want him. The Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus so clearly to you that it won't be like you reading a book, it'll be like you're walking with Jesus himself. I want us to make an altar call today. If you're somebody in here who says, I've not been baptized, then speak to one of the ushers at the end. Because when we do our baptisms next, you want to be on that list to get baptized. Bible says get baptized. That's what it says. Believe in Jesus, get baptized in his name, and then receive the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens. So if you believe in Jesus and you've not been baptized, put your name down so you can be baptized when the time comes. But right now, if we can stand, we're going to do an altar call, and the first thing is, if you're somebody in this place who says, you know what, I hear the gospel here today, I hear who Jesus is, that Jesus came, that Jesus was the one that the prophets spoke about, the one that the world was looking to, and he came in power and he did what was written about him ridiculous years before he was even born, and he paid the price for our sin. If you believe that for the first time, I want to give you the opportunity to step into a relationship with him. And if that's you, then I want you to come forward for the altar call. The second thing is, if you are a believer, you believed, and you've not been baptized, then, you know, like I said, come sign up and after the service. But the third thing is this, if you're somebody who says, you know what, I feel like I've had a battle in one of those areas. If you've had a battle in your mind, if you had a battle in your emotions, if you've had a battle in your body, if you've had a battle in your circumstances, if you've been going through a battle, then I want you to come to the altar, because what this is about, it's about saying, God, I need a fresh wind today. I need a fresh filling. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to fall upon me. We're gonna pray for a fresh filling here today. If that's you, then just come forward to the altar today as we We just wait for that wind. We wait for the Holy Ghost to fall.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. or go to vomanchester.org for more information.